Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors, this morning. We are talking some Packers football, talking off-season news of what's happening with the Packers. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, feel free. Those comments will show up on our live blog, or use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, or just comment away and your comments are being approved. Plenty to talk about today, about off-season topics, about the Packers. Nothing, you know, major. Not like it was earlier this week on Monday when it was the franchise tag deadline and all of a sudden, the Packers decided not to franchise Matt Flynn. I guess I shouldn't say all of a sudden. That is probably their plan all along, perhaps, or at least after they decided they couldn't swing a trade with anyone. But, still plenty of things to discuss and analyze. Since we last talked, on Wednesday, our last episode of Railbird Central, that was the University of Wisconsin's Pro Day. And Ted Thompson was there checking out the scene, checking out the pro prospects. Pretty strong draft class coming out of the University of Wisconsin. Several players will be drafted from there. Who the Packers may be interested in, hard to say, hard to tell. But you never know. You never know. And that's why Ted's there. He's just checking out the prospects and seeing who's available and finding out, what might be in store for the NFL draft come April. Some of the top guys who were on display was, center Peter Kahns, of course, he didn't work out, though. I mean, this is going back to the injury Kahns suffered during or near the end of the regular season in 2011. Kind of kept him out of a game or two toward the end, but did come back, played in the Rose Bowl, but, still not comfortable, doing those measured drills in front of teams, things like the 40, 40-yard dash, the agility drills, things like that. Doesn't want to put time when he's still kind of recovering. And apparently the word is he's going to be having his own personal pro day sometime in early April, I believe. Not sure exactly when that'll be, but, another thing to look forward to. Guard Kevin Zeitler, kind of a second-round guy, or a second-day guy, I should say. Second-round, third-round, he'll be drafted on Friday of the NFL draft, more than likely. A guy who's kind of a guard, looking at perhaps playing a little center in the NFL as well. If the Packers are looking for help on the offensive line, he could be a guy they're looking at. Getting a lot of attention was quarterback Russell Wilson, just because of, the high-profile nature of the quarterback position and how much attention Russell Wilson had gotten in the state of Wisconsin this past year. So, he'll be a late-round kind of guy, quarterback who will be drafted despite his short stature, his size, because of, everything else that he does quite well. So, it'll be definitely interesting to see how Russell Wilson does in the NFL and, would the Packers be interested? They'll definitely draft a quarterback, I think, at some point, in the 2012 NFL draft, just because Matt Flynn's leaving now. And of course, kind of moving on to different topics here, that's another thing that, of course, happened since our last episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday is the Peyton Manning official divorce from the Indianapolis Colts and now Peyton Manning becoming basically a free agent, a street free agent, and how that's going to impact Matt Flynn and where he ends up. Of course, I think a lot of teams are interested in Peyton Manning. I mean, who wouldn't be? He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And, it's whoever loses out on the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, then will probably be turning their attention to Matt Flynn. And, so, You know, it had been speculated for a long time that maybe Miami is the landing spot for a Matt Flynn. You know, just because of the connection with Joe Philbin there, you know, now the new head coach, the former ex-Packers offensive coordinator. And it's a situation where, you know, Matt Flynn will probably be courted and suited by other NFL teams after Peyton Manning signed somewhere. And that's the direction I might go, especially, you know, it is an interesting debate, though. You know, some people say, you know, if you want to win now, go after Peyton Manning. But if you're looking at the long term, I mean, Matt Flynn has a lot more years ahead of him. And I can definitely see that. And it's a valid point. But Peyton Manning is so good that, I mean, if you want to win a Super Bowl now, he might be your choice as a quarterback. So, you know, Peyton Manning's going to go somewhere, sign a big contract. And I've said this many times, only one team can sign Peyton Manning. You know, multiple teams can't sign him. So as soon as he signs with the team, chooses where he's going to go, I mean, then all the attention's going to be on Matt Flynn then. You know, there will still be many teams courting him, suiting him, just one less. You know, once somebody signs Peyton Manning, then it'll happen. So from the guest, our guest on the live blog here, trying to make some predictions. Peyton to Miami, RG3 to Cleveland, Flynn to Seattle. Good a guess as any. I mean, that certainly could be one of those cases that happens to play out. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, I hear a lot about Peyton Manning and the Arizona Cardinals. Rickshaw comments on our live blog. Why is there no chatter about Flynn going to Seattle? You know, I guess it's just because the strong connection between Flynn and Miami. I think that's where most of the speculation has began and started. But certainly, you know, Seattle could definitely be a landing spot for Matt Flynn. And, you know, the connection there, of course, is that Seattle's general manager, John Schneider, used to be, you know, work in the Packers front office, and I believe was in the Packers front office when they drafted Matt Flynn. So he has a lot of knowledge about Matt Flynn, and you know, of course, I mean, going back in time, Seattle's a franchise that, you know, was headed up by Mike Holmgren, and they had traded for Matt Hasselbeck, former Packers quarterback. Kind of a little bit of a history there. Not that that would influence this current decision on Matt Flynn, but, you know, definitely a landing spot or potential landing spot for Matt Flynn, and no doubt about it. So, you know, again, I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, once, you know, the Peyton Manning sweepstakes dies down, then you're going to be hearing a lot more about Matt Flynn and where he might end up. And it, of course, I mean, Matt Flynn can't do anything until free agency officially starts. You know, and that doesn't begin till a week from Tuesday, March 13th. And so, you know, we wait and you know, not even a week, that's less than a week here, just, you know, not too much further to wait here, not too long away, that, you know, free agency will get going here. And, or do I have the date wrong? Is it March 15th? I forget off the top of my head. If somebody wants to post that on the live blog, when free agency starts, the actual date, that would be appreciated. But, you know, so all these things been going on since our last episode of Railbird Central, the pro days, Peyton Manning's decision, how that's all going to affect things. Jamie Jorce says the 13th, free agency starts on the 13th. So not too far away, and all the attention will be there. And, you know, another thing I wanted to get to, today is, a blog post at JS Online and written by Tyler Dunn, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And, you know, talking about free agency and what the Packers may or may not do, and basically saying it's likely that the Packers will be sitting out of free agency this year. And it's hard to deny that, or hard to doubt that notion that the Packers will be, you know, sitting out of free agency. It's a lot of people want the Packers to be, you know, involved in free agency, and you know, I think mostly that those are your casual football fans who want the Packers to hit it big. You know, they see a team that's, you know, on the verge that can certainly win another Super Bowl in a very short amount of time, maybe even multiple Super Bowls, and they just want to put the final pieces of the puzzle together, get an impact player. And no doubt, I mean, you can't blame anybody for wanting that. It's just the unlikely nature that Ted Thompson's going to go through free agency for that to happen. He did in 2006 when he signed Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett and hit it big, and both very good free agent signings. Because, I mean, as Tyler Dunn points out in his blog post there, I mean, you know, the one major free agent, the very good one, defensive end Mario Williams of the Houston Texans, is going to command a lot of money and probably more than the Packers are willing to pay. And one of the reasons the Packers will be unwilling to pay is because, you know, the guys who are going to be free agents next year, actually, and there's a bunch of them, including Clay Matthews and Greg Jennings. These are guys who are going to command money a year from now, and now is the time to extend their contracts, to get them under contract for future years. And it's going to take a fair amount of money to do so. I mean, that's just the reality of it. The Packers do have to look to the future. So, I mean, these are important guys, too, for years to come, especially Clay Matthews. I think he's the next guy you want to sign to a contract extension. I think so. I know Greg Jennings is up there, too, and he's a priority. But I think if you had to make your choice, I think you got to go with Clay Matthews. I mean, just because of his age, he's still very young. He's very productive. And he's the best pass rusher on the team. I mean, gosh, you lose him, I don't know where your pass rush is going to come from unless it comes from somebody in the NFL draft this year. So, but other players as well. Of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think his contract is up till maybe 2014. But still, he's probably being underpaid for what he's doing right now, Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, they have to think about giving him an extension as well and a raise. I don't know if it happens before the season starts, but who knows, maybe mid-season or something like that. And a lot of these, not a lot, but, you know, every year almost without fail, the Packers, you know, give a contract extension mid-season and sometimes multiple. And they do that partially because they want to see if these people can stay healthy. 2 years ago, you're looking at both Desmond Bishop and Tremont Williams getting the in-season contract extensions. Aaron Rodgers did at one point, you know, the last time he signed a contract. Brandon Chiller, although he's not with the team, received an in-season contract. The Packers like to do that. They like to see if those guys produce well and stay healthy. That's kind of why they wait sometimes to do that. Comment from Ted the Sledge on the live blog. I don't think you can talk about Ted Thompson playing in free agency until we get to free agency and know if Wells, Grant, Bush will be allowed to leave and if they free money by cutting or restructuring Clifton and Donald Driver. Certainly a lot to play out here in just the next couple weeks. I mean, a lot of ways the Packers can go here. And Scott Wells is going to be getting the bulk of the attention. I mean, he's the free agent that the Packers, that has the most impact on the Packers, whether he stays or goes or whatever. Scott Wells, starting center on the offensive line. If they lose him, they would have to find a starter somehow. And you know, people say that the Packers, it's unlikely for the Packers to get involved in free agency. Well, I'll tell you what, the one situation in which they would, in which they'd almost perhaps be forced to, would be as if Wells leaves. I mean, if Wells leaves, now all of a sudden the Packers are players in free agency to get somebody like Chris Myers of the Houston Texans, Dan Coppin of the New England Patriots, Samson Satel of the Oakland Raiders. I mean, these are all potential targets the Packers could go after if Wells leaves. And again, that's a big if. I mean, just speculating at this point, and Wells may certainly come back. And, you know, I think he will, you know, given my, I have doubts about it, definitely. But if I had to predict right now on Wells, will he or won't he be back for the 2012 season, I'd put my money on he is. I think, you know, he'll force the Packers to pay him. That's why he's using the, you know, threatening to go through free agency. He wants to get paid and can't, you know, doubt him for that. I think somebody out there will pay him, you know, a very good money, at least for a short amount of time early in his, you know, his next contract. But, you know, we will see. Rickshow comments on the live blog. Grant's agent says that he will test the market. And yeah, no doubt, the Packers will allow him to test the market. The Packers aren't about to come to a contract extension between now and the start of free agency with Ryan Grant. We talked about this on the last episode. You know, if a team wants to overpay for Ryan Grant for a nearly 30-year-old running back, the Packers will probably allow them to do so and let Grant factor into the compensation in next year's NFL draft that they may get from the NFL. So, you know, that's how that's going to work out. And if Grant finds out that free agency isn't what he thought or doesn't get that, you know, a priority for the Packers, certainly somebody they're keeping tabs on. But in terms of hierarchy of what the Packers going to want to do, you know, Wells tops the list. And I have to imagine Jared Bush actually would be number two on their list of guys who are scheduled to be free agents and may depart. Jared Bush, the second guy. I mean, I think you want to keep Jared Bush. It's just a matter of who's going to pay him the most. Again, he's going to test free agency. And, you know, the last time Jared Bush was a free agent, he actually, you know, if you can remember back a couple years ago, are we talking 4 years ago, 2008, something like that, 2009? He was a restricted free agent, and you know it's a little bit different between restricted free agents and unrestricted. Jared Bush had actually signed with the Tennessee Titans, but in restricted free agency, the team you're leaving has the chance to match the offer, and that's what the Packers did. They matched the offer of the Tennessee Titans, and Bush stayed in Green Bay. So, facing the same thing again, except Bush is now unrestricted, can sign with whoever he wants, but he's going to test the market, and you know, somebody out there will want Jared Bush. You know, they'll want the special teams, you know, boost that he provides, and the flexibility to be a backup. Defensive back, or you know, a nickel defensive back, a dime defensive back thing. It's just, you know, agreeable, amenable. Couple other news items I wanted to just touch on that you know happened over the past 24 hours or so. AJ Hawk, linebacker AJ Hawk, joined Green and Gold today, yesterday, on Thursday with Jason Wilde and Bill Johnson on the ESPN radio affiliates in Madison and Milwaukee, to talk about A.J. Hawk's charity, Locks of Love. You know, he finally cut his long hair that, you know, he's been known for going back to his playing days at Ohio State and ever since he joined the Packers in what was it, 2005? And had cut it as part of a charity, you know, to give his long hair to AJ Hawk. I think that's great. Perhaps of more interest on the football side, how disappointing season in 2011. And no doubt about it. I mean, AJ Hawk, he is what he is. He's a reliable guy. He's a type of guy you can trust, who knows the defense, who's a leader. but he's not exactly a big-time playmaker, and which is unfortunate because watching him in college, you thought he would be. But that's just not who A.J. Hawk is. He's never been that way in the NFL, but he's been reliable and a good locker room guy. I mean, so those are reasons you want to keep him. You want to keep him around. And the Packers will do so this year. But no doubt about it, kind of a little bit of a disappointing season in 2011. Or you know, maybe not so much disappointing, but as to wondering, you know, are there better options out there? You know, can the Packers get at least a good than an A.J. Hawk? But then you have to weigh the things that A.J. Hawk does well. I mean, his leadership, his ability to basically always know what's going on and play with good technique. It's at 2 games this past year. But I mean, look over the course of his, 5-year career in the NFL, and he's always been available, been there. You know, he plays every game. I mean, those he's not missed many at all. And I'd venture to say maybe this year, were these the only 2 games he's missed in his entire career? At least during the regular season? And I can't vouch for the preseason at all, but you know, it's A.J. Hawk's a guy who's always going to be there, and you can count on him. He's going to be a guy that's going to be there practicing and preparing every week and knowing the game plan. You know, and that's just an interesting debate to talk about A.J. Hawk. And, you know, again, he's doing this charity thing, and, you know, that's another reason you want to keep him around. It's great that the Packers have guys like him that do this sort of thing and really, you know, want to be part of the community and doing things, you know, outside of football that are positive. So, you know, those are the good things he brings. And you know, no doubt, even if his play on the field is sometimes underwhelming, you know, he's a great person. So congrats to him for that. Seeing Hawk make a tackle at Lambeau and always hearing "tackled by Hawk" on the play, first down. That's of course the downside. You know, of course, a lot of criticism for making tackles too far downfield. You know, instead of the TFLs, the tackles for a loss that just aren't coming from Hawk enough. Not back with the Packers in 2012, and you can only hope that may, you know, he's right around the peak of his career though. I mean, maybe he has the best season of his career in him yet. But if it's going to happen, I would say the best season of his career came in 2010, the year the Packers won the Super Bowl. They got it out of him that year. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but maybe he's got the best season of his career yet ahead of him. But if it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen soon. So that's my 2 cents on A.J. Hawk. And you know, a couple other things I wanted to touch on today. Interesting that the Brett Favre, we finally got to the bottom of the wondering about Brett Favre and Twitter. Of course, it was announced, you know, what was it? Like March 2nd was Brett Favre's first day on Twitter. It was true. But then all of a sudden, the account got taken over. Apparently, somebody hacked it. And this new Favre literally and legitimately tweeted from about March 2nd to March 5th. And it was him, or at least his representatives or something. But then his account got hacked. And now somebody's been posting as Brett Favre, and it has not been him. And apparently, I don't know, if they changed the password or whatever, and now Favre can't get back into it, or his representatives. And so it's been hacked, and they're working to get it back under control. And we'll see whether the account was Brett Favre 4. I know there's a couple accounts out there, and you know, some of them are, you know, parody accounts, things like that. So, but Brett Favre was the legitimate one and is not anymore. So, they're trying to get under control and, you know, trying to get back. So very interesting how, you know, it just the uncertainty and people were looking at that Twitter account and just like, just thinking like, this isn't right. This guy like Brett Favre, who's, you know, that doesn't really seem too technologically inclined for one, or really have the ambition to tweet a lot for another. So we'll see what ends up happening there, whether he goes to another account or gives it up entirely. So if he did, that would be a short-lived experiment. The 3 days of actual Brett Favre on Twitter. And perhaps one final thing here, item in the news. There was an article in, where was it? Fox Sports interviewed former Packers linebacker Brady Papinga. Alex Marvez, I believe, wrote the story, interviewed Brady Papinga about Bountygate in the NFL and the New Orleans Saints and defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who apparently organized it. And Papinga had said how he didn't like the impression that it gave that, you know, football players are just barbarians. And it really was a good interview from Brady Papinga. And you can't blame him for, people thinking that. I mean, it really has given that impression. That football players, to an extent, are just a bunch of thugs. And you know, Brady Papinga saying they're not. You know, he works hard at the game. He takes it seriously. He's intelligent, knows other guys who are intelligent, and wouldn't do that sort of thing. And really good interview, and good for Brady Papinga. I don't know where his career in the NFL is going to take him anymore. He's certainly not a premier player, but a good guy. Just like A.J. Hawk we're talking about, and a good guy, and that's why they made good Packers, you know, and that's partially why the Packers draft guys like that. They just want good people, you know, good guys to bring in the locker room, and Brady Papinga's one of them, and, you know, saying that he's not a barbarian, he's not a thug, you know, he plays the game the right way, and I think there's a lot of people like him. I think it's personally despicable that you would try to intentionally injure another player, try to knock them out of the game. You know, not that I have anything against hard hits. I think break a bone in the process of a clean hit, well, that's the game. You know, there are risks, you know, being taken if you play football. So, but I mean, just as long as everything's clean and you're not playing dirty, you know, you're not taking a cheap shot, you know, that I think that's the way football is meant to be played. You know, playing it clean, but hitting hard as possible. You know, as long as they're clean, I've got no problem with it whatsoever. You know, just no late hits or low blows, things like that. You know, behind the back, crackbacks, things like that. That would be illegal. You know, so it's. A crackback block isn't illegal, just as long as it's in the front of the player, not their back. So, but anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining me here on Railbird Central. We're taking a week off. Next week, you're not going to get any Railbird Central action. Taking a week off to complete the Cheesehead TV Pro Football Draft Preview Magazine publication, digital magazine. And my book as well. So I'm incredibly busy these next couple weeks as I try to put to rest two publications at once. As you can imagine, that's an unbelievable amount of work. So that's what I'm heading to right now. As soon as this show is done, getting back to Pro Football Draft Preview and a book as well. So got a lot of writing and editing to do over the next several days. So, you know, we'll be back after that, and we'll be back to analyze free agency here at Railbird Central and Cheesehead TV. But for a week or so, I bid you adieu, and I leave you today with a song called Words by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend, and go Pack Go. We'll see you.